Congratulations, you're getting married.
Yeah, big time. Moving up in the world, doing big things. It was a good all-star break.
What are you willing to share with the listeners? Was there pure surprise? Was there, like, what was your process for you know, asking your girl to marry you?
Yeah, it was close to our place in San Francisco, down by the water. So that part was by ourselves. Then we came back home, and that was where the real surprise was, as far as just how many people were able to be there from around the country. We had about 25, 30 people up on our rooftop and able to celebrate in a really great way.
Wow, that's awesome. So you had a surprise gathering that she didn't know about. Well done, sir. Long time in the planning?
Yeah, a couple months. You know, that's why I kind of tanked towards the All-Star break, make sure that stayed out of Atlanta and keep the plans intact, you know?
I think you made the right choice.
Oh, my God.
Did you cry, and did she cry?
Oh, of course. There's good tears all around. You know, we've been together for almost 10 years since freshman year of college. So long time coming. Maybe no surprise to close people to us, but still amazing to kind of enter this next chapter.
What were you scared? Like, you guys have been together for a decade, so she's probably not going to say no. But was there ever a moment where you're like, she might say no or not yet? How were you scared?
You know, our communication is pretty solid, to where I felt good on that end. The nerves is more on the logistics side, just including, you know, people from around the country and keeping things a secret and food and drinks and logistics and all the above. But sometimes when you're doing that much, it can be things kind of fly by and you're not present for it. So I was really glad to just how much we were able to enjoy it all.
Who almost messed it up, Nico?
You know, it was pretty smooth all around. You know, I think I was later told by her that the pace of my walking was a little faster than normal as we were heading down there. I'm real slow out in the world. I move pretty slow through things. Not always that way on a baseball field, but definitely in the day to day. So I think she sensed something was up just by my pace, but yeah, hard to fool people that know you well.
Such a good joke by you about tanking before the All-Star break to make sure that you don't have to go to Atlanta. Because all I'm thinking about, Lawrence, our last time talking to Nico before the break was like, hey, you could still make the team. I mean, would you go?
Little did we know.
I know. Your answer was like, well, yeah, I think I'd make the All-Star game my focus. Meanwhile, you're kind of hoping at that point, well, let's go ahead and get through with this. Right?
No, it would have been a very good problem to have to move that party to another time. Obviously, good things all around.
What did the guys say that went to the All-Star game? How did they feel about it?
It was fast and chaotic, but just an incredible thing to be a part of. And I think the thing I've heard most consistently from guys is just sharing a locker room with all those people is really cool, even if it's brief. And you know, whether it's your first time or your fifth or whatever it is, just having all the game's best in one place is really quite a showcase for the sport. And just, I imagine is an amazing thing to experience.
Nico, did you think at this point in your career, you would be hitting against a pitcher old enough to be your dad?
It's Rich Hill tomorrow. He's 45, or tonight, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Testament to him. And, just in a sport that's gotten increasingly hard to stick around for players after they even turn, you know, 31, 32, he's, you know, still doing it and getting guys out and, you know, features a mix that's stayed consistent throughout his career. Obviously kind of, knows himself, I imagine, really, really well. And, you know, it's not by chance that he's found his way back to the big leagues.
There's a little video of Mick Jagger when he was 28, with the Rolling Stones, saying, if you think we're going to be doing this when we're 40, you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
Meanwhile,
those guys
are 80.
It's like, yeah. 80 and still rolling. So let's ask you, Nico Horner, at 45, if you have the opportunity to still be in the big leagues, do you think you'd be battling to stay in the big leagues?
I mean, that's It really seems pretty impossible. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think I have a family and stuff by then, and other things are pulling me away. I just, if I'm still able, 45 is just like beyond possibility. But yeah, who knows? I'm gonna play as long as I'm able-bodied and a good version of myself. But yeah,
Hey,
we'll see.
Lead off Nico is really exciting for us. I think it's just so freaking cool, especially that Saturday at Yankee Stadium where you tripled the lead off the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that felt really good. That felt significant.
Oh,
yeah.
It did, right? I mean, because like, so why did that feel significant, and what does it feel like to have some success up there?
Just, I mean, the Friday night game we played there was, you know, very one-sided loss, and just to go, you know, night to day game, right back to the field, be the first person in the batter's box for either team as a visiting team, and to, you know, hit a ball hard off of, you know, obviously an incredible pitcher, Max Fried, and start us off, get a run, get going, and then obviously we had a lot of great at bats after that, but kind of break the seal a little bit. It felt amazing.
It is being a leadoff guy exciting for you? What's the feeling?
Yeah, just the opportunity to impact the game, impact winning. You know, the first inning is a, you know, a leverage inning. That's why the, you know, you see the openers and you see an emphasis on the first inning. You know, it's the top of the order. It's who scores first. It's dictating momentum, and to be in the middle of all that and have a chance to be on base for the big bats in our order and all that is very exciting.
So do you change as a hitter, at least for that first at bat? What's your internal dialogue like?
I mean, it does feel different, I think, especially when you're the visiting team. Just like sometimes it feels different having already been out in the field and then coming back to hit like we do at home. But yeah, I mean, there's certain times when you kind of go back and forth on swinging on the first pitch of the game, and but no, not too much. I mean, there's definitely no like message from counsel or anything about, you know, what he wants from me in that spot. He just wants us to do the best version of ourselves and roll it out there with confidence, and it's kind of all you can do.
It can be a heavy thing to have the roles change and have people have to step up. You and Michael Bush both doing that, and then Ian having to adjust. Seems like Ian's taking it well and being a good teammate and responding well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was never going to be an issue with him as far as handling things like a pro. And, you know, first things first, he just wants to, you know, be the best version of himself and continue to hit the ball hard. He's had a pretty tough stretch of batted ball luck the last, you know, 6 weeks or so. And, you know, no one's worried about him. We all know he's been as strong-minded as anyone when it comes to, like, going through challenges personally and then coming out on the other side of them even better than he was before. I think you've seen him do that many, many times in his career. So excited for his second half.
So you said first inning's a leverage inning. Maybe this is obvious, but what are the other leverage innings, if there are some?
I mean, I imagine the ninth in a close game. And then I guess just other times when the top of the order is coming up, I think sometimes you see, you know, higher, instead of it being like, this is your seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning guys, you know, maybe that eighth inning guy throws in the sixth if it matches up well with, you know, Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez or whatever it is. I think that's kind of where I'm coming from with that.
I got you. I thought maybe you were talking about like maybe the fifth or the sixth when the starter is a little tired or they're about to go to that first guy, like maybe the sixth these days, you know?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Like that, there's some innings that really feel like opportunity missed too. Like when you have a starter right on the, you know, the verge and they kind of choose to leave him out there and he feels vulnerable and you aren't able to score, kind of things like that, that I don't feel like all innings are created equal. Yeah.
Nico, you guys have been playing pretty good baseball for the last few weeks. And for a minute, you guys had the best record in the National League. And then poof, you look up today and here are the Milwaukee Brewers in first place. I know that you guys aren't really scoreboard watching, and it's probably too early even for fans to be doing that, but I'd love to know what your mindset is like when you're like, you guys have been in control for the most part of this division, and now all of a sudden, here these guys are on an incredible win streak.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, I think the best way to see it is just as an awesome opportunity in that, you know, credit to them for playing well and putting themselves in a strong spot. But we've got, you know, however many games left and plenty of games against each other to just see who the better team is. And that's why it takes 162. And, you know, I don't think there's any regrets on our end of how we've played so far, of how we've handled things. There's things we can do better. And I think the feeling is that it's in our control as far as, you know, our destiny in the division, given that we play them a lot and there's a lot of baseball left. So, you know, that's why it's a special thing to go to the playoffs to win a division. And we haven't done it in a while. So it's definitely something to be earned.
You know, there have been times where we might look at the Brewers and say, oh, man, they play cleaner, faster, better, even though the other team has more power. I don't know that that's true this year. Like, I feel like you guys play clean and athletic and fast and smart. Like, do you feel like you play as well as they do, or as other teams like the Diamondbacks or other good teams out there? I feel like you guys measure up this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've talked about it a lot, but you know, the ability to win a variety of styles of games, I really think that's huge, not just relying on slug or strikeouts or you know, whatever it may be. And you know, I can speak more on our position player group, but just a really well-rounded group that I think the skill sets complement each other really well. And yeah, you mentioned the Diamondbacks and the Brewers and really athletic teams that have, you know, had success in getting to the playoffs and also once they're there. So, yeah, I think that's a huge deal, and it definitely has a different feeling about the group this year.
Nico, what's it like in the clubhouse this time of year? Because you guys have been through trade stuff before. There are a lot of names last year about guys who might be moved. So what's it like for veteran players? Because you know that your team might add something. How do you guys react to even the talk of your team making a move?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a secret, right? Like, I mean, I'm not up on every headline or things like that, because you know, those things really rarely dictate much. But, you know, I think we've earned a position to, you know, look into improving our roster to be the best version of ourselves to get to October and have success there. As far as internal discussions, like, yeah, there's always talks within players. Just, I think we're always kind of evaluating our team and what we can do better individually or ways we can improve. But, you know, ultimately it's up to the front office. I think one thing that people don't realize, I think sometimes, is that like talk of trade or adding players is also replacing players that are here. So, you know, the trade deadline may be in 10 days or whatever, but the reality is we have a lot of games between now and then with the group of people that we have here right now, which is kind of all that matters, because it's what you can control. And, you know, you got guys that are battling for playing time and roles, and people that have been here since the start of the year and worked incredibly hard. And so as far as like openly discussing how to improve the roster, you're also kind of talking about, you know, replacing guys that you really care about too. So it can be a sensitive thing.
Yeah, you don't want to blurt out, hey, we need some help at position X, and some dude's right there.
See,
you know?
I'm right
yeah.
here, man.
Right.
Yeah.
And they might be on the verge of some of the best ball they've ever played, so you never know.
Well, you know, is there any smile that you've seen that's bigger than those Matt Shaw home run smiles? Like, over the weekend.
Man, that swing yesterday was something special. That ball scared me because it was trying to go foul. but, yeah, like, he's just handled everything so well this year. And, like, the confidence internally from just our guys and everything, and like the kind of career he's going to have. And I think a lot of that confidence comes from just like the personality that he's put forth and the way that he's handled challenges this year. And just really impressed by him. And he's had some really great swings lately, and the defense he's played has just been ridiculous for a guy that hasn't played much third base. That's a really hard position, and it's been fun to watch.
Nico, obviously at Wrigley, every weekend kind of feels big. Like, it's a it's an emotional amplifier of a ballpark. Yeah. This weekend felt different to me. I was there on Friday. So was Spiegs, and so was our EP, yeah, Alex. And does it feel different to you? It was, what, 120,000 people over the three games that showed up to watch you guys versus the Red Sox. Can you guys even feel that, or is that us imagining stuff?
No, that's very real. I felt it most on Saturday. I think they had the leadoff double against Shota and, you know, runner on third, less than two outs. And it felt like a seventh, eighth inning kind of situation in the top of the first, which I was just kind of in the field like, whoa, this is different. This is exciting. And, you know, he struck a guy out and got out of the scoreless, and just a, you know, the beautiful summer night game. Red Sox in town. They're coming off of winning a bunch of games in a row. They've got a great team, great energy coming off the break. Just like it was very much a real feeling I had. It was really special. So yeah, that was the game that Bush and Tuck hit homers to start the game. Yeah, the whole thing was just like kind of cinema. So it was incredible. Yeah,
that's really cool that you felt that, because it was obvious all weekend around that place, man. It's like two heritage franchises having a love affair with their fans again. You know?
Yeah. No, that's how it's supposed to be, and it's. I think it's something that should be earned from teams. Like, I don't think it should be assumed that Wrigley is always like that. I think it, you know, I appreciate that we have fans that show up no matter what, but it should be based on a team that wins, a team that does it in exciting fashion, that has personalities the fans like. And I think that you can't do that overnight, but I think the fans appreciate that there is some really cool stuff going on this year.
So we've been doing some metrics, Nico.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we haven't. We have to give credit. Chris Tannehill has created pizzagraphs.com.
Yeah. And he's got sound, too. He listens to the broadcast, and he pulls stuff like when Boog and JD talk about your pizza.
By the way, Nico Horner, I think it's Rinaldi's. He's got his own pizza. It has pineapple on it. Just a note. In the air, left field, playable for Castro.
It's a Cali thing.
A Cali thing. That seems like a dismissive tone from Jim Deshays about the pineapple. Your thoughts, Nico?
Yeah, JD seems like a tavern-style cheese. Give me a beer on the side and hang out. I don't know.
That's right. I'll eat
that's
the.
All right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Boog's a New York guy, so I'm sure he's got his deeply rooted pizza bagels opinions, which are usually correct. They do it really well.
But you know me, man. I'm team pineapple. I'm with you 100%. Yeah. And here's the thing.
I'm not going to judge you if you aren't. It's just I like it. So there you go.
The public is team pineapple. This is fun with numbers. Pizzas sold since the 20th of June.
I mean, honestly, that's like kind of just fun with numbers.
That's right, Craig. We're having fun with numbers for Nico. Danny Parkins has sold 245 pizzas since June 20th. Nico Horner, 659 pizzas. You're up. You are 414 pizzas ahead of Danny since the 20th of June. Your thoughts?
Yeah, maybe a little, you know, early excitement, recency bias. I want to know the return customers. That's what I'm really caring about. You've had it once. Do you order it again? I'd love stats on that if that's possible. That's getting pretty deep analytics for pizza. But
that's why we started pizzagraphs.com for stuff just
like
that.
Good, though.
Yeah,
it feels really good.
Once the league sees you once you get around the league one time and then the adjustments come, that's when you really got to step up.
Exactly.
It's that,
it's a production league, so we're good.
That's the third time around the order, that pizza. So the third time that it's ordered, that's when we'll really know that we're on to something with Nico.
Hey, man, we got to ask you, Ryan Sandberg's jersey all over Wrigley this weekend. I'm sure you've heard about his health update that he offered. You see Kerry Wood there, and you see John Lester wearing his jersey. And it's, I mean, you... What has it meant to you so far as a Cub to have Rhino in your life and in your baseball life and get to really think about him as a player and get to know him as a dude?
Yeah, I think what's so cool about the time that he spends around here is that it's never about him, even though it totally could be and would deservedly be so. It's like he's genuinely just like interested in seeing how we're training, what we're thinking about, like what things are still similar, what's changed. Just being on the field, being in the sunshine, like just like the classic baseball stuff. You can tell he just misses being a ball player out there. And my favorite moment with him that I've had was I just mentioned in passing one time that, you know, I'd love to see his glove, one of his gloves, you know. And he showed up at spring training like months later and he had two of his gloves. It was the 84 season and 89. He had like a little Sharpie on it, 84 and 89. And they were worn out in like the same exact way in the palm and had, you know, the gold label on the wrist, and just cool that he had kept them and kept them in great shape and wanted to share and had remembered and took the initiative to share that with me. So yeah, he's an absolute baseball legend, and thinking of him a lot.
That's really cool.
Beautiful as always. Nico, thank you so much. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, man. What should we wear to the wedding, by the way? When is it, and what should we wear?
Wear white.
Okay. All right, good. Just wanted to check. Thank you.